at all times. His praise shall continually be in my lips or in my mouth. Then there in John 9:31, they said, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them. You may be seated. Open your Bibles to two opening. Open your Bibles to two opening. And I want you to write in your note, worshiping is supernatural positioning. When you worship, you're positioning yourself supernatural. Worship him and you position yourself in a supernatural mode. So worshiping is supernatural positioning. So we find out one of the reasons we have not been as strong as we could be is because we have fallen away from worship. Worshiping him as we should, listen to me, on daily basis. Daily basis. Let me give you the two scriptures we're going to turn to. Psalm 138 and John in the New Testament, or in the gospel area, John chapter 4. I want to read these scriptures before I start sharing, because they're going to be the foundation, the anchor, and the roots of understanding that you must position yourself in the presence of God, in the atmosphere of God, by knowing how to worship him properly and know what real worship really is. Worship penetrates heaven. It saturates your heart with the presence of God. It puts you in an intoxicated position in the spirit that nothing else matters. I'm strong. I've made contact with God and I've given him his glory and his place in my life. And I won't put nothing else before him. Psalm 138. You get where you don't care what nobody else thinks. Only what God thinks. I want to please God. I want to please God. Tell somebody, I want to please God. Strong presence will hit this place today. Strong presence. One Psalm 138 verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. You know, I don't know if this is the right interpretation or not, but you know, you got a lot of gods think they're running things. And we just ought to praise God right in their face. You got a lot of people who think they run things. A lot of, you know, but you ought to just say, well, all right, I'm going to praise God right now. The second verse brings us into another territory. You listen with me. You listen to me. Listen to the Spirit of God this morning. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. Anybody can identify with that? Yeah. And for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now in the fourth chapter of Luke, we're going to eavesdrop spiritually on a conversation of Jesus and a sinner woman who's about to be converted. They had a powerful conversation, and the conversation brought them down to the fact that Jesus was a prophet. I mean, this sinner woman, when Jesus got through talking, she confessed, "Sir, I believe you're a prophet." And they got into the conversation about worship, where you worship at, who was right, who was wrong about worship. And a marvelous revelation come out that the church need to know. You as a believer need to know what this really means. And it's going to change your life this morning. Worship will change you, I'll tell you that. And so here we have this conversation. We get down to the 19th verse. This sinner woman, she had five husbands. She's living in adultery. But the gospel have got a hold of her. I tell you, the gospel can change anything, boy. This woman went from a daughter or to a shacking up woman and heard Jesus preach to her. And this woman said, "Sir, I perceive you up." Look at verse 19. This is a sinner woman. Some Christian haven't perceived yet. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Now watch what happened here. We're about to go into worship, different aspects of worship. Our Father, verse 20, worship in this mountain. It's not the place where you worship. It's who you worship in. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. See, worship is not a place per se. Worship is a person. Jesus said unto her, verse 21, woman, believe me, for the hour cometh when you shall neither be in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem, worship the Father. Verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. Now, I don't want to be there. We know that we worship, what we worship for salvation of the Jews. Now, notice what he said in verse 23, 24. It's very important for us to understand this. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the who? Now, what that make you think when you say true worship? Huh? Got false worshipers, right? The true worshiper shall worship the Father how? Now, that ought to make you think about, quickly flip your Bible to John 16, 13. I want you to have this for ammunition for you. You see, it's spiritual worship. In John 16, 13, you'll find a spirit that is called a spirit of truth. That's the Holy Ghost. So you need the Holy Ghost helping you when you're worshiping God. In your flesh and in your mentality, you cannot really worship God. Only the Holy Ghost can give real worship to God, because the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. And here Jesus said, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Yes, you raise your hand. Yes, you raise your voice. But when you do that, somebody else take over. Somebody who know him better than me. Hallelujah. So you see that for your notes in John 16, 13. He's the spirit of truth. He guides you. He only say what he hear the Father say. And he worship him. You got that? Go back to John 4 now, because we will begin in a few moments. Jesus said, now let's go. In the verse 23, but the hour coming now is when the true worshipers, say true worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And notice what it said at the end of verse 23. At the end of verse 23. At the end of verse 23. They are not easily defined. They'll go to church. They read their Bible. But they're not easily found. That take out time to say thank you, sir. Not only at church, but in their cars on the interstate, at their houses, in their place of business, sitting behind the desk at your place of business, raise your hand and say, I'm here because you brought me here. And I want you to know you're welcome, and I praise you. And I know you're the Most Highest God, and I give thanks to you. Not just at church. True worshipers don't worship just at church. True worshipers worship in the kitchen, in the bathroom, in the backyard, on the front porch. True worshipers worship every day. Now I'm going to tell you a secret here. That the end of that verse says, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for somebody to pour all his blessing on. If he finds you worshiping him, don't you ever let God catch you worshiping him. Because if he finds you really, truly, genuine from your heart, worshiping him, the blessing sprout going to open. He going to pour himself down in you, in your situation, because God looking for worshipers. Not somebody just walking around with a Bible. Not somebody just quoting verses. Somebody really who know who he is. Can I get a witness here? For the Father. I wonder why he got to seek for somebody to worship. Because many are not. He said, you worship him with your lips, but your heart is far from it. And we're just blocking people from coming to church, blocking people from getting saved. We can't fake this. This got to be real. Now notice the next verse, and then we're going to see what worship is not. Verse 24 says, God is a what?
Spirit.
Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in what?
Spirit.
Told us that twice, didn't he? Uh-huh. All right. Worshiping is supernatural positioning. All right. You know, I got 45 minutes. Got 34 left. Don't go to a church where worship is not priority. Now, I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to show you some fake worship. Or where it is all a frenzy on the platform, but nothing is happening in the congregation. Go where there are worship leaders who lead the people in worship and not just to do a show for others. This is not about musical style or volume. It's about everyone putting the entire focus on the Lord and off themselves. Come on, come on. You see that girl that God helped me translate, that girl ain't no choir member. That girl is a special worshiper. God have anointed her. I might turn her loose when I finish. Because God, she ministered to the Lord. She ain't ministered to y'all. Y'all better get in on it, I tell you that. But God have trained her for this hour. To help me make this transition that with no selfishness yet. And I want everybody else to take notes. The band and everybody else. When you take notes of how to get in the presence of God and give God the glory. You should be taught to worship, not entertain, while others worship for you. Now, what is real worship? Let's get to it. What worship is? Worship is not about emotion, it is about emerging. It's about saturation. It's about becoming intoxicated with God. Not yourself. Not what I have accomplished. And no man in this room have accomplished as much as I have accomplished in my lifetime. I told you, I own 4 jets. I live in a mansion. I don't hide it. I have 2 Rolls Royces. I don't hide it. They was given to me. See, now you got your mouth out. Both Rolls Royces was given to me. So our accomplishment ain't nothing, man. It's always got somebody got more than we got. We need to give God the glory. Lift your hand and give God the glory. Whatever he have done for you, wherever he have brought you, he deserved the glory. Come on now. Who gonna help me up in here? God deserved the glory. If you ain't gonna praise him, he gonna take from you what you got. The devil gonna take it from you. You cannot stay in the blessing of God being a church member. You got to praise God for yourself. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Now, sit down. Let me show you what worship is. If you really want to worship him, you have to understand these facts, and I'm going to show you how to understand these facts in a few minutes. He is the Heavenly Father. You can worship him for that, right? He's the bread of life. Can you worship him for that? He's the all-knowing light of the world. Can you worship him for that? He's the Lord of lords, King of kings, stronghold in the day of trouble. Can you worship him for that? He's the resting place. He's the refuge from the storm, shade from the heat, rewarder. He's the shield. He's the sustainer. He's merciful. Thank him. He's all these things. Any one of these things can cause you to praise him. Praise him because he loves you. Praise him because he's good. Praise him because he is pure and holy. Praise him because he has a purpose for your life. Praise him because he redeemed all things. He hears your prayer and answer them. Praise him. He never leaves you nor forsake you. Praise him. He can be found when you seek him. He has a high purpose for you. You need to praise him. And he's the most powerful than anything you will ever face. That's why I praise him. He's a resting place. He's a refuge. He's a stronghold in a time of trouble. See, you have to know these things. I want you to open your Bible. Say, I open your Bible and show you a scripture that'll help you with that. Show you a scripture. First Chronicle, I think it is. The scripture gonna help us with it. I mean, he's a resting place. He's the bread of life. He's living water. He's water in dry places. He lifts my head when the enemy put pressure on me. He rises me up. Glory to God. Somebody need to praise him. Went to bed last night. I was drifting in sleep. Didn't know whether I was going to wake up or not. But early this morning. Yes, sir. I didn't get up by myself. Nobody in here got up by yourself. Early this morning, he tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'm going to give you another day to praise me. Another day to magnify me. Another day to glorify me. Boy, I feel good here this morning. I'm telling you, we're getting in the right place. We about to crack the supernatural. You don't want to praise him and worship him, get out of my way. I'm going to praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him at supper time. Praise him all between those times. First Chronicle. Come on, look with me. First Chronicle. Too proud to praise him. Too proud to worship him. Do you know what you have? He gave it to you. Do you know he deserves more praise than your car, than your house? Too proud to praise him. Lord, I love you. Nobody, Lord ain't got time for that. I know I'm about to get in trouble here now. But I'm going to say it anyway. Because the text I'm about to read is about a rich man. Do rich people praise God? Yes, I'm rich. I praise him. I'm the richest black Negro you ever seen in this area because God made me rich. First Chronicle, chapter 29. Let's see what a rich man say about him. Start praising him. First Chronicle, verse 29, verse 11. First Chronicle, chapter 29, verse 11. I know I'm preaching, I got the lawyer laughing. First, the lawyer getting this stuff, man. First, pop culture. Everybody wants something. Everybody want to be blessed. You're lying. Everybody want to be blessed. You're a liar. Everybody want to be blessed. You're lying. Somebody, I just want you. No, you won't be blessed. Stop lying. First Chronicle 29. I'm almost through. First Chronicle 29. Look at this verse. These verses make my liver quiver. Dying, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory. You with me? And the victory and the majesty for all that is in the heaven. That'll make you praise him. And in the earth is thine. The Bible says in Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world. Come on. And they that dwell in it, he owned everything. Tell somebody next to you, he own everything. You better stop messing around. Tell him. You better praise him. He own everything. He own everything. He own everything. I got to praise him. He own everything. He own my liver, my kidney, my pancreas. He owns my heart. He the one make everything tick. Woo, glory. All life come from him. You think I'm not going to praise him? For all that is in the heaven, in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom. I try to be a little teacher this morning, but I can't be no little teacher this morning. Oh, I'm too excited. Oh, Lord, thou exalted as head above all. Both riches. He over the Democrat and the Republican. They can do what they want to do. They can clown and be voting and crazy like that. I'm not worried about them. I know who run this thing. I know who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They can try to stop Obama all they want. They ain't stopping Obama. God gonna deal with this thing. Hallelujah. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reign over all. In thy hand is power and might. In thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Sit down. Let me give you some principles here. Sit down. Let me give you some principles here. What? What a voice. What a voice. What a voice. What a voice. Let me get there. Wait a minute. Let me get there. Give me some time. I done got excited over my own sermon. You back, go back to John now. Jesus and that woman talking. And we need to deal with this for the next 24 minutes as we supernaturally position ourselves for demonstration and for manifestation. That's what the miracles and signs are, in the fact of us really, genuinely worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Every child of God can do this. You have a right because he's your heavenly Father. And he has placed his spirit in you. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I'll just give you a little glimpse of what worship is. The first floor of the supernatural is God's presence. Worship bring his presence on the scene. Listen to what I'm saying. The first floor of the supernatural is God's presence. Worship brings God present on the scene. So if worship brings God's present on the scene, worship is one of the first flows that start miracles, signs, and wonders. By actually acknowledging who he really is and that he rules, he reigns, and there's nobody above him. Can I get a witness here? Can I get a witness here? See, we know this, but we must acknowledge this. The church must acknowledge he whom we serve is the greatest that ever lived. And when we begin to worship him, it starts a flow of the supernatural, a flow of miracles, a flow of signs and wonders, a demonstration that no other power can bring to pass. All right, stay with me. Stay with me. Worship is flowing into God's presence and releasing God's presence, bringing God on the scene to change anything to a divine perspective. All right? When you worship God, you bring God on the present. You bring his present. You release his present. And you change everything into a divine perspective. Now, what is a divine perspective? I want you to get this to know. What is a divine? Nothing is impossible. Once God come on the scene, we know this. Once God come on the scene, nothing is impossible. Amen. He is the God of impossibility. Yes. Glory to God. I can go so far, doc. Me and you can go so far. Got a doctor over there. We can go so far. Got a lawyer over there. He can go so far. But there's places that only God can take us. But when we worship him, we bring a divine perspective on the scene. Nothing is impossible, and all things become possible. I think somebody ought to lift a hand on that. See, every time you lift your hand, lift your voice to praise God, you bring the divine perspective on the scene. You bring where there's nothing impossible because God is here. There's nothing impossible. The Bible said, with God, nothing is impossible. If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So worship releases the possibilities of God. Woo, throw your hand now. Throw your hand. Worship. Come on now. You're dealing with something? You got something you want God to handle? The man of God, I'm just telling you right now, by the spirit of truth, that worship releases the possibilities of God. Once a person worship God, nothing is impossible. Don't care how many demons, how many devils, don't care how many trouble, how many problems. Once a person lift their hand and their heart and their voice toward heaven, nothing is impossible, because the full, listen to me, the full possibility of God is released in worship.
Glory.
The devil know it. The church as well know it. The devil know when a man or woman raise their hand and begin to worship God from their heart. The devil know I can't do nothing here. The devil know my time is up. All right, sit down. Let me give you some more. To worship God, I want to give you three perspectives. To worship God, truly worship God, we must fill our hearts with God's word. It is the word that is the vehicle of worship. You got to know what he said. You got to know who he is. You got to know what he has already done. You have to know what he's able to do today. You got to know what he the one is setting your future up. So fill your heart with the word of God and you can turn out to be a genuine worshiper. And I'm going to give you three facts. How many?
Three
facts that if a person fill their heart with the word of God, and the word of God, and the word of God only is the spirit of truth. And the word of God will cause you to get in a place where you come out of your flesh and move in the spirit realm where you can really magnify. Let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. Somebody about to get blessed up in here. Let the Lord be magnified. Trouble about to be run off in here. Let the Lord be magnified. The fear of the Lord about to come on Satan up in here. Let the Lord be magnified.
Let the Lord be magnified.
I'm trying to teach you something. Now, let me show you those three things. When you fill your heart with the word of God, here's why I kick in worship. It reminds us of who God is and all he has done for us. That's a good leaping off place.
Yes, sir.
It reminds us, the word reminds us of who God is and all he has done for us. You never want to forget that. Who God is.
Amen.
And all that he has done for you. Never forget that, and you'll never lose a praise. See, because sometimes we get so blessed, we think we're doing it. You know, it's working so good, but you think you're doing it. You're not doing it. It's God. Turner is judge because God made him judge. For his black judge in his area. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. I remember him from Sunday school. Always was humming himself unto God. God lifted him up. So because God, now we got a black judge sitting in our midst. Because God lifted him up. Man didn't do it. God did it. Turner know it. He better know it. We got one of the best surgeons in the world sitting on this front row. Hands of skill. Have saved people alive in this church. Man operate 13, 14 hours on one person. His hand is skilled. But he know God. God raised him up. And he's here to give God the praise. That's why him and Turner both here. They're here to know. They know God did it. They're here to praise God. I got to use living example. I don't care what you say. I'm using living example up in this church. I don't care what you think. Got me slime all over myself. Hallelujah. The second thing, the word, when your heart is filled with the word, the second thing is, it causes us to remember what Jesus accomplished on the cross. What did he accomplish? Well, he turned my destiny from hell to heaven. What did he accomplish? He accomplished that I might not live in limitation and lack. He said, I'll stop the thief. And I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. What has he accomplished? He has cursed Satan and covenanted me. I'm blessed because of Jesus. Jesus died for me. Did anybody else here? Anybody else here? I want to praise him because he died for me. I want to praise him because he paid a price with his blood that money couldn't buy. That come by without money. Money can't buy salvation. Third thing, It teaches us about everything the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives now. So there are three things. Come on, talk to me. Number one, what? Number one, what? Number two? And number three? Teaches us everything what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives today. All right? I'm almost through. I'm almost through. Good God Almighty. When you worship, it's all about God. He pours himself in you. When you worship, it's all about him. He pours himself in you. Good God Almighty. Now, everybody give me your undivided attention because I'm about to say something that you really want to hear. So give me your attention now. In fact, there are certain blessings he wants to give you that you can only receive when you're worshiping him. Amen. Write that down. I'm going to give it to you again. This is so good. Listen, what did it say, Janet? Wait. In fact, there are certain blessings he wants to give you that you can only receive when you're worshiping him. Might be a few things I've missed. Who gonna agree with me here? I don't be. I've been worshiping enough. Come on, who's gonna agree with me here? It might be something you were trying to get me, had to pass me up because I wasn't worshiping. I think I'm gonna worship him on a daily basis. And all through today. You see, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit throughout the day anoint you to worship. Now, when the prodigal son left home, that father kept an eye on the road. He was looking for him. The church has been sort of prodigal in worship. Because we got all these, we got a lot of stuff up there making a lot of noise and jumping around and carrying on. But it has to be God-centered. And we want to magnify him. Not my voice, not my guitar, not the drums, but I want to, not the horn, I want to magnify him. This is not just for this church, it's for the church at large. You think I missed some blessing because I wouldn't lift my hand every now and then and say to the Lord, thank you? When the last time you lift your hand without anybody leading you? Come on. Somebody guilt at me. I feel the guilt. I feel a hunk of guilt at me. When you by yourself, you just raise your hand and say, thou the greatest one. And I just want to worship you and thank you for being so good to me because I know I didn't get you by myself. Come on, somebody give him praise. Listen to this statement. Hold on to this statement. In fact, there are certain blessings he wants to give you that you can only receive when you're worshiping him. Now, I know this is going to cut and hurt. This hurt preachers and hurt people. But you know, on that $30 million jet I fly in. Don't forget. 40,000 feet in the air. How I got up here, Lord. Thank you so much. I want to praise you. This is your jet. God, thank you. Hallelujah. I don't have to catch the bus. Glory to God. Sit down a minute. He did it. Good God Almighty, he did it. He did it. Keep that in your mind. He did it. And you can worship him. Your worship determines in whose image you will be conformed. Your worship conforms you into the image of Christ. That's Romans 8:29, I think it is, 8:29. Your worship. You will become more like the Lord as you worship him. You will become more like the Lord as you worship him. Are you listening to me? Now, this is a good one, too. The only way to keep worship alive in our heart is to make it a lifestyle.
Amen. Yeah.
See what I'm talking about? It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Sometimes I'm on my front porch and the Holy Ghost hitting me. Now, my neighbor just had to excuse me. They drank beer and they do what they want to do at their house. So I just raise my hand. They can call me a lunatic or old religious. I just want to praise him because he's been good to me. I got an anointing to worship him. I'm going to worship him. I ain't going in the backyard. I'm going to do it in the front yard. They tell me I don't celebrate Halloween. And, you know, I got a large chandelier in my house. I turned my lights on, and the man told me, he said, you ought to turn your light off, the children. I ain't turning my light off for you devils.
That's right.
He's Jesus' light. The light stay on. Jesus said he's the light. The light stay on all the time.
All the time.
I ain't turning the light. I just locked my gate. Yeah, he's hot. Come on. You ought to turn your light off. You ain't going to have no candy. I said, I got candy, but it ain't Halloween candy, and I'm not turning my lights out. My lights is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. I ain't turning my light out because y'all want Halloween. When we, here's another point. When we praise God for who he is, we will begin to better understand who we are in relation to him. Jeremiah 29:11. Turn there. Open that. Jeremiah 29:11. The Bible says we worship him with your whole heart. Turn to Jeremiah 29 real quickly. And turn to Jeremiah 29. Turn my lights out. You must be crazy. Saying on Halloween, it's Holy Ween. So you ought to have let the children have a little fun. No, I'm not going to. I ain't going to put this up here with no children having fun dressing like witches and devils. I ain't going to let have no little fun, nothing. You let them have a little fun and lose what you got. Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me. That is, that's a secret. The secret, come on. And you search for me with what?
All your heart.
With all your heart. See, that's what worship is about. It's searching for him. With all your heart. Are you with me here? All right. In worship, we lift our hearts and hand. I want you to hear this, Todd. In worship, we lift our hearts and hands toward heaven and let go of everything on earth. Come on, let's do it a minute. Just forget about it. Your mind is on God. You let go of your car, your house, whatever you got, your bank account. Just let everything go. That's real worship. Come on, let's do it a minute. Father, we worship you and praise you. Glory, we let go of everything. Our focus is on you now. We let go of sickness and disease. We let go of lack. We let go of everything the devil is trying to do to us. Right now, we lift our hands and our hearts toward heaven, and we let everything else go. Everything we think we own, everything we think we have accomplished, we know it all came through you. Here at Word of Life Christian Center this morning, Lord, we want to bless you. And we know you're trying to get some other things to us, and we choose to be worshipers. We choose to praise your name. We choose to say you're the bread of life, you're the living water. You're the bridge over troubled water. We stop and pause this morning to say, thank you, sir. Glory to your holy name. All right, I'm going to give you one or two more points. You may be sit down. Young lady, you can come on up. Daughter, you can come on up. What you do with it, whatever you can do with this, do it. Come on up and start getting yourself ready. Hey, stop this clapping. Praise the Lord. Stop that clapping. Oh, you clap to the Lord, huh? You clap for the Lord, huh, baby? All right, go ahead and clap. Clap, clap. Go ahead, clap. Now clap again then. Clap for the Lord. Clap for the Lord. Clap for the Lord. Clap for the Lord. Worship destroy all Satan's satanic power in the atmosphere. Everybody need to write that down. It paralyzed Satan. Worship paralyzed Satan and all his power. He become inoperable. He can't operate. When a person worship, Satan can't operate. It cut off the satanic flow. That's a word there. That's a word. I didn't know you were here. That's a word. That's a word here. That's a word here. It cut off the satanic flow. Any of y'all ever been in trouble? Any of y'all ever been sick? Any of y'all ever been attacked by the devil? Listen what the Lord is saying to you this morning. When you worship in spirit and truth, you paralyze Satan. Satan can't operate and can't function in worship. Man, y'all ought to help me better than this. This is something, man. It cuts Satan's power. See, there are times when you was praying, you should have been worshiping. Worship is a quicker flow to God than prayer. Worship activate God quicker than prayer can. Prayer you got to get through. Worship already through. Once you throw them hand up, throw that heart up, you directly connected to God, to his power, to his life, to his ability. Lord, I just want to praise you. Bam, that a power. Yeah, I'm going to give you another one. I'm going to give you another one. Satan cannot stay in the presence of a worshiper. You want him to leave your house? You want him to leave? That's right, too hot. You want him to leave your house? Hell break loose in your house? You and your wife can't get along? Your dog barking and the cat mewing? You just start praising God. The cat going to calm down, the dog going to quit barking, and your wife going to quit fussing. I'm telling you, just praise God. The Lord has showed us this morning. I'm closing. I got what? 2 minutes. The Lord, you know, I cut back to 45 minutes. The Lord has showed us how to shut Satan down. I promise you, if you praise God, begin to worship God in any given situation, in the proper way, Satan's power is shut down. He was a worshiper. But he see, he quit worshiping and he started thinking that what he had was his own. See, if you don't worship, you won't think what you have is your own. After a while, you will become your own God. So you keep worshiping God that you recognize, I don't own nothing. God own everything. I am a steward of God. I'm going to finish this next week. I got to come back to this. We got to talk about worship for a while. Demonstrated.
What a privilege.